I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Once again, I remind you that it is a good life living for the Lord. And I'm glad you joined me today as we look through the book of Romans. We're going to continue our study today in Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 11. Let me invite you to look at our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to find Bible study helps, some gospel messages, different things on there that I'm sure that you will find helpful as you study the Word of God. And also, you'll find on that website the plan of salvation. If you are saved, why not give the website to an unsaved loved one or someone you know, and have them go to that website, and they'll be able to see how to make sure of heaven. Well, today we continue our study in the book of Romans, and verse 11 of chapter 3 says, and this is where we left off last time, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. None that understandeth. This describes man's spiritual blindness. And when it comes to the things of God and the truth of God, there is no understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man, this is the unsaved person, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And notice, not only is there's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh. There is none who seeks diligently after God. This is describing the depraved nature of man. And this causes him to run away from God rather than to God. And why is this? Because the Bible says it is natural for man to go his own way. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Laid on him, that's Jesus Christ, the iniquity, the sin of us all. Remember, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has let us know at this point that there's no difference. Everybody's the same. We're all sinners. We're lost without Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is an answer, and that is through Jesus Christ. Romans 3 and verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. That's speaking of mankind. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Going out of the way. And we've already read Isaiah 53:6. It says all have turned to their own way. We've all gone astray. And we've become unprofitable, become depraved, worthless. It comes from a word meaning to become sour, like milk when it gets sour. Not buttermilk, but soured milk. There's a difference. And then the third thing about this verse, verse 12, is that there's none that doeth good. Good means kindness. Ephesians 2:7 and Titus 3:4 talks about this. And God was very kind to the unkind. God was kind to those who didn't deserve any kindness at all. Depraved men lack goodness or kindness. It's impossible. And then the fourth thing about this verse, there are no exceptions to what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Note the emphasis, none. No, not one. None, 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 none. No, not one. There is no doubt. Paul emphasizes that there is none. Now in verse 13 of Romans 3, it says, their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. This is like the old snake, the poison, the venom of snakes. Notice the word sepulcher. This is the grave, the tomb. And when God looks down man's throat, what he sees within are dead men's bones and all uncleanness. You can look at Matthew 23:27. It talks about that. Notice the word deceit in the verse that we're looking at, verse 13. All men are deceivers and liars from God's point of view. The word asps, this is the Egyptian venomous cobras. Poisonous words come out of their mouth. Verse 13 of chapter 3. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The saved person's mouth is to be continually full of blessing instead of cursing. We need to always speak well of God. In Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Secondly, about verse 14, is when a person swears and curses, we should say, "Sir, excuse me, but your heart is showing." Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35, it says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." It's impossible to be good apart from Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "Their feet are swift to shed blood." Shedding of blood. Now, these people are described as murderous, eager to murder. Shedding of blood here refers to a violent, murderous death. They don't care what they do. They're lost. They're sinful. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. Destruction means ruin. They want to ruin everything. Misery, they're miserable. Great unhappiness is involved with this, a serious lack of contentment or happiness. And the word also means wretched, and is the same word used in Romans 7:24, where Paul says, "Wretched, miserable man that I am." Romans chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "And the way of peace have they not known?" Peace. They have not known the way of peace. Man's awful history of warfare is seen in every age and in every generation. And there is only one way to have peace. 1 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Now, Christians have a promise of peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, God wants to bring every person, man, woman, boy, and girl in this world, peace. And He has brought that peace. And that peace comes through Jesus Christ, His Son. Notice now with me Romans 3 and verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And Paul once again is laying out the case here about men and women. There's no fear of God before their eyes. This is speaking of the natural person, the person without Jesus. And we have in this verse the very root of the problem which man has, no fear. There is no reverence and respect for God at all. Have you ever heard someone say, "I love God to death," or "I love Jesus to death," but yet they've never trusted Him as Savior? They don't love Him. They don't love Jesus. If they loved Jesus, they would ask Him into their heart. They would ask for salvation. They would ask for forgiveness of sin. And this has brought about a fear, a reverential fear of God. We love God only because He first loved us and gave Himself for us, that we could be saved and on our way to heaven. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He shed His blood on the cross for this whole world. And it's sad to say that everybody in this world is not going to go to heaven. It's only those who have trusted Jesus Christ and appropriated His blood. How do you appropriate the blood of Christ? You ask Him to save you, to come into your heart, to come into your innermost being as best you know how. Ask Him to save you, and He will save you. Well, notice in this verse the word fear and reverence. Fear and reverence of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, according to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Do you want to be wise? Do you want to have knowledge? Then you need to fear God. Have that reverential fear of God, and let Him lead you and guide you, and realize that He is God, that He is the Creator, and that He has given you life through Jesus Christ, if you will accept it. Now the verdict of those people who do not fear God is found in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. It says in verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Every mouth is stopped. Every mouth is closed. And what has man to say in his defense? He has nothing to say. Man knows that he is guilty as charged. And God, the righteous judge, knows all and sees all and was witness to every sin and crime that we have ever committed. What can we say? We've already seen in our study that God sees everything. He says guilty. All the world is brought before the judgment of God to hear the verdict, guilty. And they are left standing there trembling and silent. Notice verse 20 now of chapter 3. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Keeping the law, of which nobody has ever done except Jesus Christ, keeping the law will save no one. It says, "Therefore, and so by the deeds of the law." And so, even by trying to fulfill the contract of the law, there shall, and it has been determined, so this verse is saying, there is no person justified or acceptable in God's sight. And secondly, we see, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Because of the law, there is an awareness. There is a clear understanding, the truth about sin. Law cannot save, according to John 1:29, but it can lead us to a saving knowledge. Have you trusted Him? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? My heart's desire today is that you will receive Him, trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart. You're guilty before an all-seeing God if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. He wants to save you today. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior as best I know how. I believe you died for me on the cross. Save me so I can go to heaven." If you'll pray a prayer like that, God says He'll save you because you're honoring His Son, Jesus Christ. It's been good being with you today, and until the next time when you hear me say it's a good life, I'll be praying for you. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.